This is Adam Gorney with the Respect My Decision podcast on Rivals, here with Zach Carpenter from Inside Nebraska, who is going through a coaching search. And that's always fun, especially early on in your career in Lincoln here, Zach. And there are some names that I think we should probably float out first. You know, Clint Cosgrove had a report that Matt Rhule, Matt Campbell, and Lance Leopold would be the three names to look at. Bruce Feldman had Campbell, Leopold, and Bill O'Brien. Are those kind of the names now that we're looking at? Or sometimes in coaching searches, those are the names that agents float out there, and then it's something completely different. What's kind of your feel now on the ground there?
Yeah, I think when the initial list came out, you know, it's like 12, 15 different names of different reporters saying these are the candidates to sort of keep an eye on. And you have to kind of dig through those lists, because I think a lot of times when those come out, it's like you said, agents floating it out there or someone from that coach's camp floating it out. But we've done some digging. Clint's been all over it. And then I've been talking to my people as well on the ground over in Lincoln. And those names you mentioned, and on top of them, probably you're looking at Jamie Chadwell as well, of some of the guys who are at the top of the list. And to be clear, it's not as if these are the top candidates, 1, 2, 3, like it's in this order, or these are the only candidates that Nebraska is going to be going after. Trev Alberts, the Nebraska athletic director, he said in his press conference after firing Scott Frost and talking about this national search that they're going to be conducting. I say national search in quotes because that's what Albert said. He said, you're going to hear a lot of names thrown around. You're going to hear that Trev Alberts talked to XYZ coach. And he said, I very may well have talked to XYZ coach, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to hire XYZ coach. And I think that was him being very well aware of the situation of how things get misconstrued and in reports like this and national coaching searches. I mean, he was he played at Nebraska. He was in the media, he worked for ESPN. He knows how these things go. So I think he was trying to sort of put out a sort of precautionary message to say, hey, don't believe everything that you hear. Don't believe all these rumors. But I will say that it's not as if Clint or myself are just throwing out names like randomly willy-nilly just to say, hey, this is a guy or that's a guy. Like, I think there's some guardedness from the fan base to say, hey, who are you just throwing out names? Like, are these just, no, that's not what we're doing. We're using our sources and we're digging into it to give names who are actual candidates for the job. And these are the names you mentioned are some of the top candidates, not all of them, not all of the candidates, but those are the guys that are at the top of the list for who Nebraska will be looking to pursue.
Asking fan bases who they want to be the coach can be a very difficult process because they either want Nick Saban or Vince Lombardi or the greatest coach of all time. And without that being the person, there's a significant amount of disappointment. But
I'm finding that out, Adam.
Yeah, right.
First-hand experience, because everybody hates the coaches that you list, and there's some people that like them, but mostly it's like someone's going to find. There's a lot of people who are going to find a problem with anybody that you mention.
Yeah, is the fan base kind of rallying around certain names? What's kind of your sense from seeing that and following that on message boards?
Yeah, I mean, you start with Urban Meyer because I think he's the sexiest name. He's the biggest name. He's one of the best college football coaches of all time. So, like, I understand that. And the fact that he's very much a wanted commodity around here, it makes sense. And maybe it's a vocal minority that truly wants Urban Meyer at the top of the program. But I think there is a push and a want for Urban Meyer to be the next coach. And then there's the other side of the camp of, no, I don't want him at all. Like, that's what's interesting is I think Urban is one of the very few coaches who could get Nebraska back into immediate contention and back into Big Ten, back into competing for Big Ten titles relatively quickly and potentially into national titles. But from my sources, I had been saying coming into the Nebraska-Oklahoma game where he was there for Big Noon kickoff, I have been told that he probably isn't going to be interested in returning to college football coaching with the way college football world is set up now with NIL and transfer portal situations sort of dominating the landscape now. And I was trying to give a little bit of room for a possibility that could change when he came to Lincoln and experienced it. And I mean, you saw on Fox that when he was on the Big Noon kickoff set, they're chanting, "We want Urban," and everything that happened this weekend. So I was trying to give like a little bit of room for maybe that changes. And then coming out of the weekend, no, it's still situated where he's not wanting to, he's staying at Fox. He's not wanting a return to college football coaching, at least not right now, and at least not at Nebraska. Yeah. So that's one name that sort of, a lot of the fans have sort of rallied around, at least our subscribers. And it's interesting to see that Matt Campbell and Lance Leipold, those are two of the top targets that we keep mentioning. And I think it's sort of split. Like, it's interesting because I think both of those would be, I think Matt Campbell would be a home run hire, at least like whatever the half step below a home run hire is, because I think Luke Fickell would be the absolute knock it out of the stadium home run hire, and Luke Fickell to Nebraska is not happening. But it's interesting to see sort of the fan base get almost split a little bit from what I've seen. I'm like, I feel like this coaching search is sort of causing some commotion, some embattlement of, no, like this guy would be awesome. No, this is why that person would be a terrible hire. Right. So, I don't know, have you seen that? Do coaching searches usually do that from your experience?
Yeah, and especially at a place like Nebraska, who, and I'm not going to say inflated sense of self, but they expect like the greatest coach of all time to take that job. And that is something that at every job, Tennessee thought they were getting John Gruden forever. You know, like those things just don't necessarily happen out of the blue. And so, you know, you have to go to sometimes realistic candidates. Like Urban Meyer is literally one of the greatest coaches in college football history. Like maybe Urban Meyer doesn't think Nebraska is big enough for him. You know, like he went from Florida to Ohio State and won national championships there. Does he want to go in to a massive rebuild project? And the reason that I don't think Urban has any interest is because he's always he's always coached at places where he had, you know, the base recruiting territory, and he could kind of have free reign over whatever the hell he wanted to do. And that's why he took Florida after Utah and not Notre Dame, because there were academic restrictions that he had to worry about and recruiting restrictions that he had to worry about. And he didn't have that at Florida. And as you'll see on the documentary that's being done about them now, it was basically whatever anybody wanted to do on that team was allowed to do. I covered those guys when Urban was there. It was a madhouse. So I don't know, you know, Urban Meyer is certainly a sexy name and would definitely bring, you know, his style of coaching to Nebraska. But there are definitely guys and ones that have been mentioned a lot that are interesting. Matt Campbell's one of them. When he was sort of a candidate for USC, the USC people felt that he was sort of on the same kind of coaching track as Nick Saban. And that's not to say that he's the next Nick Saban, because there might never be someone like him. But, you know, Nick Saban coached at Toledo for a year and then went to Michigan State and left Michigan State because there weren't enough resources at Michigan State, and he went to the South. And that's where his career really launched and really took off. And Matt Campbell is in a similar situation. He's at Iowa State and has done a phenomenal job there. He only has one losing season in Ames, which is incredibly difficult, especially in a Big 12 that's pretty good. And now, but he has no resources there. He has no recruiting territory, and he's done basically everything he could do. I just don't know why people aren't like super thrilled if Nat Campbell was going to be hired at Nebraska, you know.
That, and on top of that, or sort of to back that point up, is I feel like Matt Campbell is one of those rising stars in the coaching industry. And you see, I mean, Urban Meyer, he started off at Bowling Green and then he went to Utah before he rose to sort of coaching stardom that one season at Utah, and then what he did at Florida. So it's interesting that so much of the fan base would think that Matt Campbell would be a terrible hire. And I think a lot of it is still sort of the past history of Mike Riley coming in here from Oregon State after sort of a similar similar setup and that Matt Campbell has at Iowa State of success, not like immense success record wise at a lower tier Power Five school, and then coming to Nebraska, that's what happened with Mike Riley, and then it didn't work out. And I think there's some sort of some I keep using the word guarded, but sort of guarded that that the same situation would happen with Matt Campbell if he came to Nebraska. But you hear Trev Albert say all the things, all the qualities that he wants out of the next Nebraska coach, and they just seem to match what Matt Campbell will bring to the table as far as a program builder, culture builder. Because doing it at Iowa State, it seems like would be much harder to do that there than it would be Nebraska. So I feel like he's seasoned at least in terms of building that culture, building a program. So I do think, I don't know if that's the same way you feel, but I feel like he would be a great fit.
Yeah, and any comparison to Mike Riley, I don't see. Mike Riley was Mr. Nice Guy, tried to, you know, love up everybody, did the Calabrasca thing, which we knew was not really a workable thing long term. Matt Campbell's law and order, man. He's going to bring in a system that he knows works and runs. And if you can win in Ames, you could certainly win in Lincoln, because Nebraska has cachet in the recruiting world that Iowa State might not. Lance Leipold is super interesting because he's not a sexy name. I mean, if you ask college football fans around the country who he is, they might not even know he's the coach at Kansas. But that might be his appeal. You know, he went 109-6 at Wisconsin Whitewater. And I get that it's Wisconsin Whitewater and it's Division III football, but it's 109-6. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's essentially never losing a game in like 10 years of coaching there. He takes the Buffalo job, and you know, it took him a few years to turn that around, but he had a 10 win season in 2018 and then went 8-5, and then, you know, goes to Kansas, which is an impossible job. Maybe the hardest job in all of Power Five. Not necessarily from recruiting territory, but just from a perception standpoint. Goes 2-10 last year. They beat Texas. And then comes in and starts 3-0, and you know, they actually look like a really good football team. So I get that if Lance Leipold gets this job, people might be like, oh, this isn't the sexy big time hire that we wanted. But it's almost a guarantee that if his system's implemented and people fall into place, that he could win a lot of games there.
Yeah, I think you go back to the coaching buzzword buy-in. If he comes to Nebraska and there's actual buy-in from the staff that he brings in or puts in place, and there's buy-in from the fan base. I think that's one maybe underrated aspect of all of this is the fan base. Whoever Nebraska hires is going to have to buy in, at least the majority of them. Otherwise it's not going to work. Like, there has to be support from the fan base to make this a more enticing job for whether it's Lance Leipold or Matt Campbell or Bill O'Brien. And like you said, Kansas has started off 3-0, and Iowa State's 3-0 for the first time since 2012. Kansas 3-0 for the first time since 2009. Nebraska's 1-3. Nebraska lost to Northwestern, which just got ran out. Like, their defense got destroyed by Duke, and then they lost to an FCS team.
Yeah.
And then you lose to Georgia Southern. You barely beat an FCS team in North Dakota. And not trying to poo-poo the start, but you're 1-3 when your two of your top coaching candidates are 3-0 and built these Iowa State, a sustained Big 12 contender, and Kansas now 3-0 when it's impossible to almost impossible to have that type of success at Kansas. It's like, do you want a winner or do you not? And yeah. I do think both of those guys could consistently win and build Nebraska into a Big Ten West contender. I know in 2024, when USC and UCLA come to the conference, maybe the Big Ten West, as we know, it's not going to be like it was. But for right now, I think the best hope that you, the best goal you can have is, if you're a Nebraska fan, is to have the Huskers be a contender in the Big West. You get to the Big Ten championship game, and then you just have to win one game, and you're playing in the Rose Bowl. Or if you had a 10-win season, maybe you can sneak into the College Football Playoff, especially with it expanding to 12 teams. So I think you have a couple guys in those two candidates who could get you there.
And then real quick on Bill O'Brien. This is another interesting one for many other reasons. One, from a recruiting perspective, I think everybody knows who he is. Two, he can go in there and say, I've coached Tom Brady and I've coached Bryce Young, and that's going to sell quarterbacks at least, and that's a good start in recruiting. He took over a Penn State job right after the Sandusky scandal, which was an impossible job, and did a very admirable job that he then parlayed into a NFL head coaching job and GM role. But then it got interesting because, you know, he in 2018, the Texans went 11-5 and then 10-6. They went to the playoffs both years. Then he starts 0-4 in 2020, and instead of giving any time, he's gone. And so then he goes to the Nick Saban rehabilitation school, like Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, and is now doing a phenomenal job with that offense. But I do think that there's a little bit of fieriness in him. And I don't want to say Bo Pelini level, because I don't think anybody can get to that. But there is sort of this is my way of doing things, and there's going to be very little flexibility, and I'm going to run the show, which might be what Nebraska needs. I don't know. We'll see. But he's certainly qualified for the job, and it might be a really good landing spot for someone with his resume.
Yeah, and he's, like you say, Bo Pelini, Bill O'Brien, sort of that mirror image of each other. Like we said, Mike Riley, Matt Campbell, sort of the mirror image of each other, at least from a perception standpoint. So, but the reclamation project is another thing, is another similar characteristic between these guys. I mean, like we said, Matt Campbell, Iowa State, Lance Leipold at Kansas, and Bill O'Brien with the history of, like you said, an impossible situation to take over and turn Penn State into what it was for that brief amount of time. Maybe Nebraska does need something like that. It's sort of an extra juice of disciplinary, not even disciplinary, but just like, and not disciplinary or fire and brimstone, but just like a hard-headed leader of this program to sort of get things moving in the right direction. And I would be interested to see what he would be like as a head coach after he went to work under Nick Saban and have success there. And that's another recruiting pitch to where you can get the most important position. You can get talent at quarterback into Nebraska, which is another area that they're going to need to obviously have sustained success moving forward in this sort of new age of college football, of offenses dominating the landscape. And even in the Big Ten West, where I know running the ball and strong nose defense is always going to be what rules the day.
Again, that is Zach Carpenter. He will be all over the Nebraska coaching search. We will be definitely watching closely. Go to Inside Nebraska for all your needs. This is Adam Gorney with the Respect My Decision podcast.